This evening we shall be working out of the book of 1 Samuel chapter 21. 1 Samuel chapter 21. Before we look at a historical event together, let us pray and acknowledge our need for the Lord's guidance. So let us pray together. Our Lord God Almighty, indeed how blessed we are to be here this night. We thank you for your grace that we have such a desire to come and to worship you. And we know, according to your word, that we enter into your special presence. We plead for the ministry of the Holy Spirit upon our hearts and minds. Lord God, you would strengthen us for your service, that you would guide us as we look at your holy word. Look at events that took place centuries ago, but yet in your infinite wisdom, you have had it recorded, and in your providence, you have brought us to this particular portion of Holy Scripture. We acknowledge our great need of you to help us understand, and might we profit from your word this night. Through Jesus we ask, amen. Do you remember the old potato chip commercial? And there was that little statement in it that said, I bet you can't eat just one. I bet you can't eat just one. And if I remember correctly, you had a man with a bag of Lay's potato chips, and he crunched one, and there was somebody there. Would you like one? Sure. Bet you can't eat just one. Oh, I can too. And so he is given one potato chip. He eats it. Give me another. No. You said just eat one. Give me one. Then he grabs the bag and starts eating them. Bet you can eat just one. And you know, if you think about it, that's true of, oh, so many delicious foods. Can you eat just one M&M? Can you eat just one kernel of caramel corn? Can you eat just one grape? Can you eat just one strawberry? Well, there are probably a couple of disciplined people in here. You could do that. But for most of us, we just can't eat one. But on a much, much, much more serious note, can you sin just once? Can you commit just one sin? Sometimes we do that, don't we? And as Scripture says, we sin and our heart smites us, and immediately we confess and we're ashamed and we repent. But then would it not be true at other times, sadly, we commit one sin and that leads to another sin? And that leads to another sin. The psalmist said something more than once, my feet are slipping. They keep slipping. I'm stumbling. I keep on stumbling. My feet are caught in the net and I can't get out. And so he needed that grace of God. And it might be the experience of a few people here tonight. You commit a sin, and you stumble, and another, until God and His grace breaks in upon you, and you are humbled, and you thoroughly repent. It seems like perhaps that's the experience of David lately. One sin, it leads to another sin. And so as we review a little bit, we're going to be working out of this 21st chapter. By way of review, you remember David. His life is threatened. Saul wants to kill him. He experienced Saul throwing the javelin. Then he speaks to his great friend Jonathan, and Jonathan confirms it and says that, yes, my father wants to kill you. You had better run for your life. And so David runs. And you remember he went up to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. Now, exactly why he ran there, we're not sure. We made some guesses. David knew he'd been on the run for quite some time, and he loved the tabernacle. He loved being there. He knew he wouldn't be able to go there. And so he goes, and there's an indication perhaps he wanted Ahimelech to make intercession for him. We have no record that he actually did that. But David goes there, and in the presence of the tabernacle and before the face of the high priest, what does he do? I don't think we can say anything else other than he lied. That's what he did. He lied. He said, Saul has sent me on this real special secret mission, you see, and I had to leave in such a hurry that I didn't have supplies. I didn't even have weapons. Is that anything other than a lie? And so he speaks to Ahimelech about food, about a weapon. He gets both. He got what he needed at that time by means of a lie. While he is there, he notices a man by the name of Doeg. Doeg was one of Saul's servants, the head herdsman. David saw him, and for just a moment it appears there was that gut instinct. You better do something about that man. Either you kidnap him, or either you kill him, because he will turn you in. But at that time, David didn't pay attention to that gut instinct. And so he got out of there. And as we'll find out later on, it came home to haunt him. Ahimelech, the priests, all of them but one in the city of Nob, were killed. What was involved? A lie. Deceit. And so David leaves there. He leaves and perhaps he's wondering, where do I go? What do I do? Saul is the king. Saul wants to kill me. Saul's got quite an army. There's no way I can stand up to him and defeat him. And besides that, he's the anointed of the Lord. What shall I do? So David comes up with a scheme. And so we'll pick up our reading tonight at verse 10. Then David arose and fled that day from before Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said to him, Is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing of him to one another in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? Now David took these words to heart, and was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he changed his behavior before them, pretended madness in their hands, scratched on the doors of the gates, and let his saliva fall down on his beard. Then Achish said to his servants, Look, you see the man is insane. Why have you brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. Amen. And so here's David. He has fled from Nob. Where is he going to go? Well, he's probably thinking, no matter where I go in the land of Israel, Saul is going to follow me. And Saul's got an army with him. Where can I go? What can I do? And so perhaps the thought comes to him, I know I'll just get out of the country. I'll get out of the country. Isn't that what some people do, those who have committed crimes, get out of the country? Isn't that what happens here in our own state? A crime is committed. What do? You go across the border. You get to Mexico. You get lost there. Sometimes they never come back. So David's thinking is, I'll get out of the country.
And so we're going to look, where is David? Where is David? And you notice what is said, David arose and fled that day from Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And so Gath was one of the five Philistine cities, and the king there was Achish. And so at that time, people not in great herds, they would go back and forth across the border. They didn't have the tight security like we have and we need today. And so you might have a few go over, do a little trade with the Philistines and vice versa. Some might have some relatives who actually live over in the land of the Philistine and vice versa. And so David perhaps is thinking he doesn't have more than probably, he's got less probably than a half a dozen men with him. And so he'll go over to the city of Gath and he'll kind of mingle in there. People won't recognize him. He'll stay there. Saul's not going to cross the border. Saul doesn't want to risk with his army another conflict with the Philistines. No, there's too much peace that's going on right now. And so Saul will just forget about it. And you remember this happened later on. David had the same thought and did the same thing when you look later on in chapter 27 of the book of 1 Samuel. We pick these words up. And David said in his heart, "Now I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape to the land of the Philistines, and Saul will despair of me to seek me any more in any part of Israel, so I shall escape out of his hand." You notice? He said in his heart. And so he's thinking. He's pondering this. And no indication here that he sought the face of the Lord about what he should do. No indication here, "Lord, please direct my..." No, it's something David came up with. And really, it seemed like a very good idea, just like sometimes we come up with some very good ideas. But where was the Lord? Did we seek His face? Did we search His Scripture? Did we get any advice from a trusted, godly friend? And so here is David once again. And so he was running away from Saul. He knew Saul would track him down. "I'll just get out of the land." And so he goes, you see, across the border. He goes to the city, you see, of Gath. No one will recognize him. It's interesting, isn't it? What drove him? It was fear. Fear. Fear can drive a person. Fear can even drive a Christian to do some very foolish things. And so here is fear. I think that's behind this. And so he wants to get away. And when we're afraid, a lot of times we don't think clearly. We're so afraid and we're so nervous. Let me think, we say. And what we come up with isn't always the best. And so here he goes to the Philistine city. And you remember, I assume maybe he tried to hide it. He had the sword of Goliath. And some of the people might recognize that. That's the sword of our hero, Goliath. And then people who recognize him remember, considering this matter, do you remember the songs they used to sing? "David has slain his 10,000s. And there might be some people there in the city of Gath who said, "You know, I had some relatives that were killed by David and his men." They remember those things. And so here, the people are beginning to talk, you see, and they're beginning to whisper, and they're beginning to look at David. And you notice verse 12, David took these words to heart. He heard. And he saw the looks on their faces. Some of them maybe really were staring at him. David took these things to heart, and he was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And so here is David. He's afraid of Saul, the king in his own country. He runs to another country, and now he's afraid of this king. So here is David. Fear has taken a hold of him, and he goes, he wants to get away. It seems just like the best thing to do when
You're afraid of someone and someone might hurt you. What do you want to do? You want to get away from them. But yet David had this reputation. David took these words to heart. And so what might this say to us? Well, perhaps you're pondering a move of some kind. You're thinking about a change of some kind. What's behind it? Have you sought the face of the Lord? Have you looked at the Scriptures as regarding this change? What is the motive behind this change you're considering doing? You remember we are to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and lean not into our own understanding. We are to acknowledge Him in all of our ways. So any change you might be pondering, have you laid it before the Lord? Do you want Him to direct your steps? And so here is David. Fear. But it's kind of hard to fault him because we all know about fear. So here is David crossing the border, and it could have been when he first crossed the border, a little sigh of relief. Saul won't come here. But you've heard the old saying, jumping out of the frying pan right into the fire. And that seems what David did. Out of that frying pan, right into the fire. Well, in the second place, David hears these words. David is afraid. How does he react? How does he react to this situation? A new situation. A very dangerous situation. Well, you look, you notice, David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of the Achish, the king of Gath. So he changed his behavior before them, pretended madness in their hands, scratched on the doors of the gate and let his saliva fall down on his beard. Here is this in the broad general sense, this image bearer of God acting like a crazy. But not only that, this is the anointed one of God. Even the Philistines had heard, you notice verse 11, is this not David, the king of the land? They knew he would be king. Saul knew it, and that's why Saul was fighting against the purposes of God, wanting to destroy David. And so here is this anointed king, this future great king, and he acts crazy. He pretends madness. I guess even in that day and age, someone does something bad and they get off of it. Well, they were just mentally insane. But can you imagine here? He's pretending. Isn't this deceit? Isn't this another lie? Or, as we'll think about later, was this something very clever? Very wise? Do we not try to deceive our enemies in wartime? Would we not try to deceive someone who was wrongfully trying to take our lives? Or is it just out and out deceit, another lie? And so here is David. He scratches on the doors of the gate and he lets the saliva fall down on his beard. And really, that was a terrible thing in that day and age, especially even today, a man with a beard. You ever notice a man with a beard when he eats, he always wipes his mouth? It's a terrible thing, have food all over your beard. Or if he drinks something, he wipes it. You keep your beard nice and clean. He didn't just slobber and all this saliva running all over and scribbling around. And well, what happens? Well, the servants of Achish, they bring David to the king, you see. And evidently they brought him. They said, look, this is the man that's responsible for a lot of deaths of our fellow citizens, and we think he ought to be put to death. And so here's David before this king, and he's acting crazy. And the king responds,
look at this man. Look at this man. He's insane. You brought him to me? What can he do? I have no need of a madman. Get him out of here. And so David got out of there. That's how he reacted, you see. And so once again, David got what he wanted. But perhaps something to think about is this. Just because something good is accomplished, and it would be good that David saved his life, doesn't necessarily make it morally right. Because something good is accomplished doesn't mean it was necessarily morally right. I might be threatened with reference to my faith in Jesus Christ. Unless I renounce Christ, I lose my life. So I renounce Christ and I save my life. That's a good thing, save my life, wasn't it? Morally wrong. Wrong before God. He who denies me before men, him will I deny before the Father. Fear. Fear can have even a believer do silly things. You remember with reference to Simon Peter. Are you not one of his disciples? No, I don't know what you're talking about. Fear. Fear. And then later on, you remember Simon Peter, he's hobnobbing with the Gentiles, having a great time with them. I mean, we're one in Christ, but then some strict Jews come down, he pulls away. Compromise. Fear. David. Fear. Acts like a crazy man. And again, we just look here and on the surface, we don't see anything or hear anything about David praying. David calling upon the Lord, do we? But he got out of there. You notice he departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. Well, again, I wonder, was this sinful what he did, acting crazy? Or was it something very clever? Was not Saul clever when he played the Pharisees against the Sadducees? Was something wrong with that? Took the heat off of him? Was this a work of wisdom? Did David cry out to the Lord? Well, it seems, though not recorded here, that he did. For there's a psalm we have, and it's a very popular psalm, Psalm 34. And you notice in the heading of the psalm what it says. A psalm of David when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. Well, you say, look, this talks about Achish. Well, at that time, the various rulers in the land of Philistines, they had the title, see, Abimelech. Just like you had the title Pharaoh of Egypt. But under Pharaoh, you had the name of the king. The leader of the United States is the president. But under the name or title president, you have Donald J. Trump. And so it's believed that here, Abimelech is the one referred to here as Achish. He's the king. And so it says, when he pretended madness, drove him away. And so listen to what the psalmist has to say and see what you think. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears.
They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers him. Was this the prayer that was in the heart of David while this was going on there in Achish? Was he then crying out to the Lord? It says, the Lord delivered me from my fears. He was a man who was full of fears. Or is he simply reflecting? Here he is in this cave in quietness, and he can reflect and consider what all has taken place, and how the Lord had delivered him. How the Lord, in the midst of all his foolishness, had been very merciful to him. And every one of us here can reflect. There was those situations, those foolish situations, but the Lord was very merciful to us. And the Lord delivered us. He said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Is that a confession? Is that a confession with reference to what took place at Nob? Is that a confession of what took place at Gath? Depart from evil. Do good. Seek peace. And pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and save such as have a contrite spirit. Was that not David's condition? Was it not his condition? And has not every Christian, everyone here, experienced that broken heart and the contrite spirit? But the Lord's near. When we are going through that experience, the broken heart, the contrite spirit, we think, God's far away! No, he's not. He's very near, and he binds up. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all their bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. So here's David. He was driven away, thankfully, and he goes to the cave, and there he sits, and there he reflects, and there he ponders, and there he acknowledges his sin, and there he praises the Lord, and there he thinks about his life and seeks to get it back on track with God. All of us from time to time, not literally but figuratively, we need to go to the cave of Adullam. Get away from all the noise. Get away from all the chaos. And think. And ponder. And talk to the Lord. And really, isn't that what the Sabbath day is about? A time to pull back from the normal activities and all the rush, and to think and to ponder and to consider our lives in the light of God's truth. And as the psalmist said, I thought upon my ways and turned my feet into thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Amen. Let us now be dismissed in prayer. Our Lord God, again we bow in your presence, and we thank you for our times of worship together. We thank you, O Holy Spirit, for having dealings with us. Indeed, you have made us to think upon our ways, considering our lives in the light of your word. And Lord God, we ask that you would grant us grace to make that repentance where it is needed. That, Lord God, we would make those changes whereby we are better servants. We pray for brothers and sisters who at this time are having their time of trial, those who may even be amongst us. They have the broken heart, and they are greatly puzzled and do not know what to do. And so, Lord God, hear their cry, and we pray for them also, that you would be merciful, that you would draw near and make them to be aware of your loving presence, make them to be aware that their lives are in your hand, and Lord God, that you might direct their steps, that you might get honor and glory to yourself. Our Lord God, we are mindful of those who are suffering physical affliction. We pray for them, that Lord God, it might please you to lift up the light of your goodness upon them and to heal them. And for all of us, Lord God, we will face various decisions this coming week. We ask that you would direct our steps. Help us to think in the light of your truth. Help us to be strong in your grace. We know that we shall face many battles. We have a terrible adversary. Help us to be a discerning people. Help us, Lord God, to hold up that shield of faith, to use the sword of the Spirit. Lord God, help us as regards the pressures of the world that push in upon us. And help us with our own remaining sin. Oh, how deceitful our own hearts can be at times. Lord God, have mercy. Help us. We want to have lives that please you. We thank you for the promise of that eternal kingdom. Might we be faithful until you bring us into it. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.